It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
This guy drinks red wine from 9 a.m. till midnight. That's all. I don't know what he does. He's got a phone, a headset, and he just guzzles red wine.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app. Now on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Leafs in action tonight, Carolina in town, so the O-Dog's heading downtown. You'll be at the ACC tonight.
I also have a secondary jersey for Jersey Guy Collection.
Who is it?
Justin Williams jersey.
Ooh.
That's a good one. Carolina?
Friend of the show.
He's played where? He's played in Philly, Carolina.
L.A.
Washington.
Washington.
And back to Carolina.
I consider him an L.A. king.
Do you? I would too, yeah. He won two cups there.
That's why. He was
and
Mr.
He
Playoffs,
was
Mr. Game 7.
A very important part of those cup-winning teams. Mr. Game 7.
Mr. Game 7. He hated that handle. Remember we called him a couple times last year and we're like, what's it like to be known as Mr. Game 7?
I'd take that every day of the week. Instead of Noodles or some jackass nickname.
How about Lieutenant Dan? How about being
LD?
You're known as Dan.
LD.
Compared to Mr. Game 7.
We got to circle back with that. We haven't been calling you Dan or LD.
Mr. Game 7 is...
pretty impressive.
A very quality handle.
I told you guys before that one of the weird things about the guy is... like, he lived in my house for, like, 3 months and never once offered to give me any money or anything.
Did he at least put groceries
nothing,
in the fridge?
Nothing.
Well, you guys probably ate out every day.
I know. And you would think he would make a point of, like, buying every meal?
Were you making more than him?
Probably,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, well, then that's why.
Yeah, but, dude, he's living for free. I did him a favor. I'm like, don't go to the hotel.
Yeah.
Stay at my house. You would think he contributes something.
Maybe.
Like, if I was down in the dumps and one of you guys said, hey, come stay in my basement,
yeah.
I would take care of everything. Cleaning lady, groceries, grass cutting.
I would make sure that brother's plumbing was on speed dial. I would be concerned.
You guys think if I ever went in the crapper, you would invite me to stay in your basement?
Well, if you were down in the dumps, pardon the pun,
yeah,
I wouldn't expect for you to contribute because it would be... doing you a favor.
Yeah.
But if you're riding high in the NHL and it's, hey, that makes my life a little bit easier if I can just move in with you as opposed to looking for a place.
Right.
Then I think you have a legitimate beef as the host.
You just think it's status quo, like, hey, just come and enjoy the ride and don't worry about a thing?
I think if you're, like, in a really dark place, come aboard, I'll take care of you, I'll take you under my wing if you want to stay in the basement, just don't do anything stupid. But... if your life is riding high and it's simply a convenience move where you're moving in, and that's what it sounds like when it comes to Justin Williams and your situation, I'd say he probably should have contributed something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did he give you the jersey for free?
No.
So he didn't give you the jersey?
No.
Nothing has happened.
So you didn't even get a free jersey from him?
No, guy.
But make him pay for that.
He doesn't even know it, does it?
No, he doesn't even know I have the jersey.
So, but if you called him and said, hey, can I get one of your jerseys? I'm pretty sure he would make that happen. Like, I don't think he would be like, you know what? What's your credit card number? I'll have the PR guy send it to you. Like, he would make that happen.
Well, what's the unwritten code there? Because you guys were complaining about it a couple of days ago. When you're in the league, people would reach out to you and say, I want tickets.
Yeah, but, okay, what I've noticed is guys will ask for sticks. Sticks are no problem because that comes out of the stick budget. The trainer gets pissed because that comes out of his budget.
When's the next Ottawa game you do?
Monday. Monday, Thursday, Saturday, next week.
I want you to ask Eric Carlson the next time they come to Toronto if he could bring two extra sticks.
I can't do that.
You can't put Noodles in that position.
I can't do that.
I'll do it then.
Well,
that's FaceTime me when you're beside him.
But you'll have to be like, hey, hi, Eric. How you doing? Nice to meet you.
You don't even know Eric Carlson.
Yeah, I do. I know. Okay.
How do you know Eric Carlson?
I just know him. I played against him. You don't think he knows who we are?
I'm sure
he knows who we are.
I'm sure he knows who Noodles is, clearly.
Yes.
Probably knows you based on NHL career.
I don't think he's tuning into the podcast
of Overdrive, though.
Although I believe that their general manager, who is a friend of the show,
Pierre Dorion, we're fans.
Once in a while, or more than that, listens to our show. Listens to our show.
Maybe. Yeah, I'll ask Pierre then.
See, that's the thing. But, like, I can't go up to him and be like, hey, you know what? Jeff O'Neill needs two sticks of yours.
I don't know how you do it, man.
Because I don't care.
I know. It's really weird.
I really don't care.
You are Kramer. Like, you're a pod. You're not a human
you're
being.
You're a unique person. That's what
I don't understand how you can just put people in such a weird position and be like, give me one of your sticks.
I don't mind.
Like, I'm so weird about that. I don't really. He doesn't pay for them.
I know.
But all he has to do is say to the trainer, pack two extra sticks.
You really don't understand how that puts him in a bit of an awkward situation.
Well, Erik Karlsson?
Yes.
Do you think he cares about two extra sticks?
I don't think he does. And
he uses 10 a game.
I'm sure he would sort it out. Just me, I think the more issue I have is just me being the fanboy walking up and going, hey, you know what? Not for me, but for somebody I'm working with.
Yeah, I'm not a friend of mine. You wouldn't do it anyway, so it's not even a fact.
Well, he's got to be professional, too. He's between the benches. He's calling a game.
But if I was there, I would just go up there and say, hey, give me a couple sticks.
It wouldn't be that big of a problem, but it's still a little bit awkward.
Like, so why didn't you ask Williams for the jersey? Why didn't you just write him? You text him all the time and just say, send me a jersey.
Because I know different people in the organization. He doesn't have to get it. They can get it. They just go to the team store and grab it.
I feel like Justin Williams, you would have been able to circumvent that and say, hey, Willie, I've been talking about you on the show a lot. Any chance I can get me a jersey, send me a jersey. Like, it is weird. Like, I talked to Chris Pronger yesterday, but I talk to him all the time, but it is still weird for me when people ask me, like, hey, can you get Pronger to sign this or whatever? There's times where I'm like, hey, I need a favor from you. He's like, what do you want? Like, now he's on defense mode. Like,
that's the gift I've been given, where I never feel like I'm bothering anyone.
And that is a gift. It's a gift.
What?
Technically, you aren't, but there's a layer to it. Like, who was it that we had as a guest on the show, and he was like asking for a hat or a hoodie?
It was Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer was at the Super Bowl, and you're like, Trent.
I wanted the sweatshirts the Patriots were wearing during the interviews.
Yeah. Can you please, like, mid-interview, we're breaking down, how's Gronk going to, his injury going to factor in? And you're like, hold up a minute, Trent.
Yeah.
Can you hook me up with a Patriots media day? Like, it was such a specific request from a guy who comes on, like, 16 times a year.
Yeah, I saw Brady wearing this shirt during an interview. Can you go ask Tom?
You know what? I asked.
What's your most outrageous ask?
Like, Dwayne Casey was in here, and I was like, buddy, get us some swag.
That's true. You were absolutely bartering with the head coach of the Raptors.
And you know what he said? Yeah, no problem. I'll send some up for you guys.
That's not going to happen, but he shouldn't. Why does he have to send us anything?
But you know what he did? He was like, yeah, no problem. I'll hook you up. And he walked out the door and was like,
exactly. Don't ever put me in studio with these idiots again. But the thing is, they don't have to pay for it.
It's nothing. They just tell another guy to tell a guy.
It is true.
To send it up.
He'll make a phone call or text and say, "Hey, those guys want some tracksuits." But if he likes us, if he doesn't, if he's like, "Well, I was doing the car wash that day, and these three idiots asked me for tracksuits," then he's probably pissed about it.
I can't imagine today would be a great day to reach out to Dwayne Casey.
You're mad about it.
Last night. Listen, we're going to get to the baseball game in a moment. That was some of the greatest theater.
It was.
I've ever witnessed. It was an unbelievable game, too. Unbelievable game, too. It was a game of establishing and breaking records. There were so many crazy things that happened. Vince Scully was on the mic winging it for 5 minutes before the game even started. And we're all convinced that that wasn't a part of the plan.
No.
Like, I think they gave him a mic and said, you know, walk out, throw the pitch, come out.
Because with TV and everything, they're on a timeline, and somebody must have been close to saying, you got to get that pitch, like, you got to get it done.
Especially with the storyline, it being 2.5 hours, and this guy's eating up time.
He was out there for a long time, and it worked. Because he got through it, it was brilliant. And I love Vin Scully. Everyone loves Vin Scully.
Right.
I was so nervous throughout it that something was going to go wrong.
And then they brought out Fernando
Valenzuela. Yeah, make sure you get that one right the second time.
Yassel's name.
Yeah, Pugue.
Pugue.
Yassel Pugue. But you had Puig, who led to the ground rule double because it went off his glove. Then he gets up and throws his glove off the ground.
That was the greatest reaction ever.
The umpire taking a pitch off the pills.
Balls.
I mean, it was crazy what happened last night. But we'll get to that in a moment. As for the Raptors, because the game ended when it did, it was perfect. You could flip over and watch the final 5 minutes, and you flip over and you're like, wow, they're in this game. They're in it.
And I think with a minute and a half left, I was like, they're going
to
win this game.
They were up five with a minute and a half left to go. And then guess what happened?
Three balls from hell.
Jakob Poeltl missed a layup where I think he got fouled. I think Draymond Green fouled him, but naturally, Poeltl's a guy that people aren't familiar with. Draymond Green, reigning defensive player of the year. He gets the call, or the non-call in this particular case. And I think that triggered DeMar and Lowry to say, forget it, I'm not going to the young guys, because Poeltl played great last night. DeLon Wright, I thought, had another very solid game, and he was on the floor for the final 5 minutes. But I think Poeltl missing that layup, and that would have iced it. That would have been a 7-0 lead, or they would have been up 7. Yeah. And if it was an and one, maybe 8. I think immediately DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry said, forget it, I'm going back to one-on-one hero basketball. And it went Kyle, Brick, DeMar, Brick, Kyle, Brick.
Game over.
Game over, because Durant and Curry and the boys took over, and they blew it. They choked.
Well, you know that Durant was going to throw that layup, that three. No problem.
Oh, dude, the pull-up three was a lock. But ultimately, it's so
like you're disappointed in what you just described, but are you shocked at all? I mean,
well, what I'm trying to lay out here is
that if you think DeMar and Kyle try to go hero mode like those guys in Golden State, it never works.
Well, they can't help themselves. Those guys in Golden State don't really do it. Now, the pull-up three is one, but what also led to the lead was Kevin Durant passing the ball off to Steph Curry, finding the open man, and him hitting a three. All summer and all throughout training camp, all we heard about was this new offense, and they're going to move the ball
movement.
And they're going to shoot threes. When it got to crunch time, when the tough basketball, tough possessions come to fruition, these guys revert to what they are. And they just want to go one-on-one and shoot and throw up bricks. And that's what happened last night. And as a Raptors fan, if you're watching that, that's got to be remarkably frustrating, because the first 46 minutes, they were right there. They were playing well.
There was a really big game. It might have been against Cleveland, elimination game, where the end of the game, there was like point something seconds left, and you just knew that it was going to Kyle Lowry. And he tried to just run through five different guys, and he threw up a brick, and it's just so predictable. You're right.
That's exactly what it was. Last night, the Warriors...
You remember
Warriors,
the play I'm talking about?
There was a game against Brooklyn, the playoff game, Game 7 against Brooklyn, out of the timeout. Well, that's exactly what he did. Yeah. Out of a timeout, and they swarmed him, and he couldn't get to the basket, and he threw up an
air ball. That's the one
I'm
talking about.
But last night, out of a timeout, after they gave up the lead, DeMar DeRozan came out, and one-on-one, like a fadeaway mid-range jumper, missed it. There's no way that's the call. Like, I can't imagine Dwayne Casey is making that call out of a timeout. But DeMar and Kyle cannot help themselves.
Yeah.
They revert back to who they are. And that's the truth about sports. I mean, once you're 5, 7, 8, 10 years into your career, you pretty much are who you are. Your mentality is what it is. It's very difficult to convert someone.
But what
there's,
you're,
the,
in any
there's
sport.
The odd time where somebody can totally transform their game, but it does not happen often.
Not very often.
What you're saying is their game's not, they're not good enough.
They
can win 50-plus games every year.
In the regular season, but you win in the playoffs with defense, ball movement.
Right.
Like, that's the San Antonio way, the Golden State way, the Cleveland way. The top teams in the league, that's what they do. They find open guys, they move the ball around, transition offense, and it just doesn't happen with the Raptors when the going gets tough.
Yeah.
And that's what I witnessed last night. But as for the baseball game, it was crazy. Like, we ran down some of these stats. 8 home runs in a game. That's a World Series record. 6 home runs hit from the 9th inning on. 6 home runs. The Dodgers did not have a non-home run hit until the 10th inning. A 2-out single that tied the game. There are a bunch of other ones here that I read last night. Entering last night, the Dodgers were 98-0 when leading after 8 innings this season, including the playoffs. 98-0.
That was the kiss of death, because he had said it on the broadcast.
Oh, yeah. And Kenley Jensen threw up a pizza and blew the save.
I told you, I packed it in when
Altuve hit that home run, but that was in the 10th.
This guy went from Mariano Rivera comparisons to blowing it.
But he's been so money for so long. I mean, you got to throw him back out there again in Game 3 if you're in that situation. You're not going to hold it against him, but 98-0 going into last night if they're leading after 8 innings.
was an exciting game.
It was a great game. 1-1 going back to Houston for game three. Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider in studio. Get his take on the Leaf game tonight. The Habs are at home against the Kings. Get Bob's take on what is going on in Montreal and how much of the news is just simply uncontrollable. With Mario Tremblay saying what he said, an agent coming out today. Tremblay? I haven't seen anything from Mario Tremblay.
We should see if we can dig up any statement or any type of like translated sound from Mario Tremblay. If he's gone dark all of a sudden, like he drag bunted everyone, and then is he still in front of it, standing by it, or is he hedging his bet?
You have to believe his phone was blowing up yesterday when everything started going public, and someone asked Bergevin about what he had to say on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what Bob has to say about that. We'll tee up the Leaf game as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Leafs are in action tonight. Carolina's in town. Carolina, defensively sound, very defensively sound. And the Leafs are obviously off to a great start. They can score with the best of them. Carolina's going to try to shut them down. Oh, you're in attendance tonight at the ACC.
Yep. Alumni box.
Taking advantage.
You're not wearing the alumni coat, though.
No, I'm not. Not tonight. I don't have time. I got to get down there. I got to walk over.
Why didn't you hang it in the car? It's probably in your trunk anyways. No. Fold it up in a corner.
No. I take special care of the alumni jacket.
Just everything else you throw in the back of your
truck. That's
right. All right, Bob McKenzie's in here. What's up, Bob?
Hey, fellas. How you feeling, bud?
I'm holding up.
Holding up?
He's hating his life.
He was miserable yesterday.
I turned a corner. Like, I met with the surgeon today. I was down at the hospital. Pretty good position to be in right now. Putting some weight on the foot. Taking care of me. I'm feeling okay.
Good.
You know what I want to know is where Stamkos was? Like 13 days post-op,
yeah.
Just to see if I can beat him at that.
Now, have you rented the automatic ice machine?
No, I haven't gone there yet.
You got to get it.
Why do you say that?
You must.
Was that the thing on the leg?
Yeah. You put a sleeve.
Put the sleeve on.
You get it for like 2 or 3 days for $250 a pop. Do it.
Game changer.
I'm just telling you, it's a game changer.
So what is it though?
I forget the name.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Look it up online.
But it's a box, a metal box, and you fill it with ice and water, and you close it up, and then you attach the hose, and then there's a sleeve that goes over your leg, and it basically the knee sleeve goes from like the top of your ankle to mid quad thigh,
mm-hmm.
and you can set the pressure and the temperature, and you hit it. And this thing, and you just sit there with your foot up, and it compresses, and it constant icing, and then you can leave it on for like a couple hours, and it'll ice every 20 minutes.
Oh, that's money.
It's you got
to
get it.
I have to get that.
You must get it. It will accelerate the healing of that knee by millions of percentage points.
You just went into like Bob McKenzie scout mode. Did you hear him like break that down? What's going to happen with the knee when this knee hits that ice?
You must get it.
I'm going to take that testimony to the bank. I'll get it. 100%.
Is it like the guys after the game to get the lactic acid out? You see the guys with the sleeves on. Yeah, with the.
They have the because like now athletes are wearing like entire body suits of that stuff.
Yeah,
really.
It's like going in the cold tub without actually getting wet.
Yeah,
and that you can like if you've got your arm done or your wrist or whatever, you can buy different attachments, and that game ready. I think it's called.
Okay, I'm on it.
Hold on.
Was Stamkos using it?
Well, I'm sure he had one.
I got to think
house.
He owns one.
They are. I know players actually that have those at their house. They're thousands. Like they're $10,000 or whatever.
I think it's $7,000.
Yeah,
something like that.
Well, that's chump.
But you can buy your own.
You can rent them. They rent them and they carry them to your house. And it's easy, and
all right, I'm on it.
I'll hook you up.
There you go.
How about Stamkos with 20 points through 10 games?
Yeah, it's great to see, isn't it?
It is.
I got to be honest. I didn't know what to expect. He's had so many injury problems, and since he and I kind of have something in common, we're both coming off a bucket handle meniscus tear.
Yes.
I've been following his career a little bit closer than I generally would. He's been unbelievable. 20 points.
Yeah, and
in
it
10
doesn't
games.
Doesn't hurt having the guy that he's got on his line. They've found great chemistry.
And finally, the coach put them together. The coach was always like, it wasn't a Johnson and Palat and Kucherov. Stamkos always had to find somebody different.
Yeah,
but
I think now that they've, you know, now that Drouin's gone and they got point, they can spread things around a little more, and they're looking for a little more balance, and that's good.
Yeah, they're rolling, man. Speaking of Drouin, Montreal. This feels like it's teetering out of control because more and more stories are breaking and happening that they can't control. With Mario Tremblay lipping off on radio and saying what he said about Galchenyuk.
That is just, the BS. More I think about it, it's just such bull.
Well, it's ridiculous.
But you can't put the cat back in the bag now, it's out.
But it's ridiculous on so many levels because, like, how do you respond if you're Galchenyuk? You just... Like, the kid just wants to play hockey, and he's trying to play
flat
hockey.
Flat out, no comment. I mean, what else are you going
to
say?
But, I mean...
He shouldn't even have to say anything.
Bob, I said yesterday, if I was the GM or the owner of the team, Mario Tremblay doesn't come back in that rink. Like, you give him the Charles Oakley. Like, that is... Yep. That's how pissed off I would be if a guy came out and threw that garbage around.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know what, a lot of it... And you're right, but it's... I don't want to say it's white noise, but it is. I mean, the Milstein stuff today about, you know, Galchenyuk and the Russians. Hey, and a couple of things. Number one, Dan Milstein took the tweet down very quickly. He, in interviews, he said, I shouldn't have said anything because it's not my client. It's not for me to say. And that's fine. And what and Milstein's upfront about it, what his axe to grind with Claude Julien is Alexander Kokhlachev. He represents Kokhlachev. Kokhlachev was in Boston. Julien, in the mind of Milstein and probably Kokhlachev, he didn't get what he thought was a fair shot from Claude Julien in Boston. So he's got a predisposed dislike of Claude Julien, which is fair. He's entitled to it. But that's nothing to do with the Montreal Canadiens. Really, it's nothing. I mean, we in the media talk about it. I'm sure that Marc Bergevin and Claude Julien are like, you know what? We don't care. Like, say whatever you want on Twitter. We got bigger fish to fry. And the fact of the matter is they're coming off a game where they played really well, where everything went well. Shea Weber gets two goals. Power play was good. Galchenyuk scored. Pacioretty scored. So whether it's Mario Tremblay or whether it's Dan Milstein or whatever it is, it's all just white noise. And now what will happen next is if the Canadians come out and play well and get another win, then that's great. They're starting to point themselves in the right direction. If they come out, lay another egg, and the power play's bad, and Galchenyuk sucks, and Pacioretty doesn't score, then they're right back to whatever. But, I mean, Mike Bossy said Pacioretty shouldn't be the captain. But that's the nature of the beast in Montreal. That's the price cost of doing business in a city like Montreal when you're not playing well.
Well, and we used the Maple Leaf analogy a few years ago, and there's been many years where it was a disaster on the ice and it felt like a bigger disaster off the ice. But Noodles, you referenced the Festruck Kessel spot piece on day one.
The 3 years ago, there
everything just unraveled, right?
It was just one thing after
Bernier,
Nelson Mandela, his favorite player growing up.
They had so many.
It was a good D man.
I don't even remember the sound of it. Like I tried to block that out as quick as possible because I don't even know.
I felt for him.
I did. It was kind of funny though, like to not even know, and you just to not know was one thing. You just kind of direct traffic somewhere else.
But
do when I'm sleeping on the show, and I just have to act like I know what you're talking about. You don't come up with a story. He was one of my favorite D-men.
Yeah, but what about like?
Mandela was your favorite D-man?
But you're on the red carpet for that...
That event.
Event. Like
Giants
you probably
of Africa,
should have schooled yourself
of...
in that. Like, that's
and you
the...
thought Nelson Mandela was a stay-at-home D-man.
Like,
no. if the Leafs had done well that year, then all that stuff...
Exactly.
It's a footnote. You laugh about it. And if the Canadians can get their game going, and maybe they will, maybe they won't, then all this other stuff, it's just white noise. You just block it out, and away you go.
Leafs in action tonight. Carolina's in town, and it sounds like JVR will play. I remember you talking about this before the season, Bob, that referencing how healthy they were a year ago. And if JVR plays tonight, the only two man games they've missed is Connor Carrick a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And now that he's healthy, he's not even playing,
so
somewhat inconsequential.
And you look at some of the other teams, what they're going through.
Right.
you know, already.
Washington, and like there's just teams all over
the world. Anaheim's devastated with injuries right now.
Yeah.
You know, the Boston Bruins, Krejci's out for a while. And Bergeron missed significant time at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's kind of
all over the map right now.
Well, it's one of those things, though, when you get a season with the team, it just happened with the Blue Jays, where there's a lot of injuries. At the end of the year, they wipe out their training staff, they wipe out the strength and conditioning, and they say, we're going to do something different. And I'm wondering if behind the scenes, the Leafs have implemented something different over the past few years, and they're now reaping the benefits.
They have. They would say they've really invested heavily in a sports science department. Remember Babcock? He kind of make fun of them sometimes.
Like, yeah.
Is this guy ready? I don't know. The sports science guys tell me when they're ready and when they're not. And you can kind of sense that he was kind of like, I think he's ready, but somebody else tells me he's not, so he's not. And what have you. But at the end of the day, I mean, you can have the best sports science guy in the world, and if you're Bobby Ryan, it doesn't help you when a puck hits your finger and breaks it for the fifth time in three and a half seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody blows a knee out or whatever, you have the best sports science in the world. It's a contact game. Stuff happens. Slippery ice, hard boards, injuries happen.
Well, in how it correlates to the Leafs, they have a younger team. They don't have a lot of mileage on a lot of those players, so that may contribute a little bit to it, where you see older guys that have reoccurring issues that continue to... I mean, Zach Parise finally, you know, again, back surgery. Like, there's rehab guys, especially recently. I was talking to a rehab guy. I was like, I could see that coming a million miles an hour. You know, Hemsky being hurt. There's guys that throughout the league have that mantra around them. Martin Hansel, at some point, are you waiting for him to be hurt in Dallas?
Like, but in Minnesota, you're right about Parise, but there's Charlie Coyle, relatively young guy. He's got a broken leg.
Yeah, it's not,
you've
not
got,
their
you
fault.
You don't need a rider. He's got a high ankle sprain. These guys are not old players. They're not, you know, worn out. They just got injured. And you know, if you're the Leaf fan, you knock on wood and you cross your fingers and hope for the best. But at some point, they probably will get dinged up, and then it's just a matter of trying to figure out how high in the batting order the guy is and how much he means to you.
Well, we were talking about that earlier, looking at, I think it was Farhan who sent the internal email about the Capitals lineup tonight. They're in Vancouver.
Yeah, Burakovsky's got a busted finger or whatever.
Yeah, he's out. Niskanen's out. And Backstrom's a game-time decision. You take three big names out of that lineup, they won the President's Trophy a year ago, and you look at it, you're like, these guys aren't that good.
Yeah, and they already were diminished because guys, you know, Justin Williams had to go, and Alzner had to go.
Johansson.
And Johansson had to go. So what you've noticed is a lot of teams over the summer did lose their depth. A lot of teams that were like, three lines deep offensively with a fourth line. There's a lot more top six, bottom six teams in the league, I find, this year, because a lot of the really good teams have come back towards the middle, and a lot of the really bad teams have gotten kind of moved up a little bit. So the band is wider and everybody's closer together.
Kind of, you bring it back to Toronto, Bob, it's almost like they should look at their team this year and say, let's try to make a run, because this can't stay together for too long.
Well,
guys are going to be moving out. You can't keep the depth. You never can with the salary cap.
I'm looking at it. The Leafs have had 10 man games lost this year. The least amount is Dallas with two. The most, Buffalo's had 50 man games lost.
No, but I'm just talking about the depth of Toronto's lineup. It's like you can't generally have that for too long.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Bozak and Van Riemsdyk might not be back next year. Now, you know, they might be replaced with guys that are as good. You know, maybe Kapanen is going to come into the lineup and they'll, you know, address. So we'll see. All that stuff will play itself out, but they're well equipped to turn it over. But you're right, oh, I mean, once they get the Matthews deal done, the Nylander deal done, the Marner deal done, they're not right away. So there's still, I think there's still time there.
The more I watch this William Nylander, the more I think he's walking in and saying, I'll take the Draisaitl deal. I'm not even joking. This kid
is. We'll see where his points are.
Could be.
If he ends up with 75,
part of the reason Draisaitl got what Draisaitl got, which was what, 8.5, which is I think a million more than Tarasenko. Part of the reason Draisaitl got a million more than Tarasenko was because he's a center, and they felt like it, you know, that metrically there's added value sure. there because
and,
of the position.
And don't you think, Bob, the biggest factor is the agent was able to go to the team and say, McDavid's really good, but he's not this much more millions better than my guy?
There's an element of that to it, no question. And we're seeing that across the board now. I mean, Eichel got what he got because McDavid got what he got. Let's not kid right. anybody.
Well, I wouldn't dispute that. If Dreisaitl ends up being defined as a center and can continue to put up that kind of production. But what you've noticed early in the year, they started the year with him on McDavid's wing.
Yeah, and he's back there tonight.
He's back there tonight. So if he's a winger getting 8-5, and he's playing the role
I think ultimately, long-term, in Edmonton, I'd be very surprised if it's not 1-2 in the middle. But right now, struggling to score goals, McClellan's just trying to get
sure.
the big boys going.
Get going, yeah.
And he'll try and drag everybody along behind them.
Well, they're another team. You look at their lineup, and because they're off to a start that has not been expected, you start applying the standings to what you're seeing. You're like, wait a minute, all of a sudden I don't love that Patrick Maroon is playing with McDavid. Right? When they ended up with 104 points and he had, 25 goals or whatever, you're like, that's
a great fit.
What a perfect fit. Yeah. Now they can't score and they're 2-6 or whatever, and it's like, I don't know if he should be on that top line.
Yeah, that's typical. And it's early yet.
Yeah,
it's very early.
He keeps having to come on this show and say it's early.
I'm trying to spice up a controversy here.
We've just finished the third week. So according to my theory, ignore the first 2 weeks entirely.
Yeah.
Take due note of everything after 3 weeks, which was last night. And next Wednesday,
be a month.
Book it. That's, we're at the end of October. So we're getting closer to, but it's funny how you start to see some things even out a little bit here, some of these teams that were really bad are getting a little bit better. Some of the teams that were really good are starting to lose a little here and there.
Bobby, we're thinking about doing a Kumite bracket. Do you know what a Kumite is?
Yeah, I got a rough idea. It's sort of like a cage match when they call
a TSN one.
Who would you like to see in this building fight each other? Like, I want to see Gino Retta fight Rod Black with mustaches.
Wow. Yeah.
That would be a good tilt. Is there anybody you would like to see just go, like Dregs versus Dutchie or somebody?
We think Dregs is sneaky tough.
Oh, yeah, well, it's not sneaky.
Apparently Dregs, he's tough, apparently. I don't know. I don't see it.
Well, I don't know if he's tough, but I think the reason people talk about Dregs like that is because one time, I think Puffy one time asked him, like, if you had to guess, how many times have you been in a, fight?
Yeah.
Like a fist fight in your life, in your adult life, like teenage years on or whatever, like 18 on.
He came up with a number?
And there was some number like, I don't know, like 25 or 30.
That means he's instigating fights. You're not in 30 fights.
The cleaner. Then like his laughed. Buddies are
yapping. Then he laughed and he said he's from Saskatchewan. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do in Saskatchewan.
35. Well,
there's not one tilt you think would be a good one?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who I want Ray Ferraro to go up against, but I want to see Angry Ray.
That the Quizmaster.
It's something I'd love to see.
Ray and the Quizmaster in just a cage match.
Kumite. Kumite with a cage.
I don't know.
We'll make it work.
Ray would attack him. I think the Quizmaster would be overpowered by that one.
You think so?
You never know.
Ray's got some wonky knees too, man.
That's true. The Quizmaster would slip the knee.
Quizmaster would scratch his chin and then have some kind of quick little punch.
Karate chop to the throat.
Such an inside joke. Like, no one even knows what it means.
Yeah.
You're playing to a crowd of like four or five people.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Bob, enjoy the games tonight.
Game ready, baby.
Game ready, that's what it's called?
Game ready in Vaughan.
In Vaughan.
That's head office.
Home of the Vipers.
Get it done.
All right, I'll be sending
you. Won't do it. You won't do it.
I will, absolutely. I'll do it. How am I lazy?
I just feel like you'll talk of it. You'll say, you know what? It's in the works. It's in the works.
I'm just telling you. You're lazy and a loser.
No, he didn't say that. Why would he tweet that? Or why would he text that out of nowhere?
I am going to tell you it will be a game changer for you. You will heal so much faster.
You've had this
situation. Feel so much better.
Okay. I'm taking your testimony to the bank.
I got a machine like that at home. It's just a little different.
All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up the games tonight. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Time now for our best bets, brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NHL board tonight, I'm going to go under the number in the Leaf game. You're calling a lot of goals. Who was calling for goals? Noodles was calling for goals.
Well, the Leafs can score.
You ever seen Bill Peters, Mike Babcock games? It's like mirrors of each other. Just
no, they want 1-0 tonight. Babcock wants 1-0, 12-10 the shots.
Yeah.
That's what he wants.
I don't know.
You're calling goals tonight?
I've got a gut on that. I don't know.
Arizona winning tonight against the Rangers. The Rangers, dude.
No way.
The Rangers. They're paying $270 against New York. New York is the second worst team.
Do you have any idea what's the longest the team took to get to their first W in the NHL? Because I think the Coyotes...
Probably a while. It was. I mean, we're talking...
I read something today. Honestly, I think it was the Atlanta Thrashers, like 0-1-0-2. I think Ray... I'm not sure Ray was on the team yet.
Like 20 games?
They went like a lot of games without winning. A lot of games.
You sounded like such a 15-year-old there. You were like... Yeah. They went like a lot of games.
Yeah. Like you had no idea of the numbers.
No, it was just a big number. Out a phantom
you're like,
idea.
It's a really big
It was
big
like
number.
A lot of games.
I was waiting for you to be like, 18 games.
Well,
I'm
I don't
like,
know
I don't
how
know.
Many games.
Neither
so
do I.
What's wrong with saying a lot
and
of games?
You threw out, I read something today.
I did. It was Ray tweeted something out. Yeah, he did. It was Buchigross tweeted something about how if Arizona loses tonight, I think that's 10 in a row. The last time that happened or whatever was the Atlanta Thrashers.
Okay.
So I don't know how many games they ended up losing. Well, probably a lot. Would you not say that
Absolutely.
Works?
Absolutely.
Anyway, the Coyotes are going to be barking on Broadway tonight.
17 games.
And over the number. 17 games? The first 17 games without a win?
I think I'm reading. I'm just going on the fly here. 17 games by the 74-75 Capitals and by the 92-93 San Jose Sharks.
Okay, so both those teams were expansion teams, I believe.
No, I just punched in longest losing streak to start NHL season, and that's what came up.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
Anyway, over the number, Tampa-Detroit tonight. Throwing out 20, you can score 160. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. The sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine get way into the game. Arizona, 10 in a row.
Who did you choose?
If they lose tonight.
Who'd you choose the football game tonight?
Well, Matt Moore's playing for Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Because Jay Cutler, it sounds like he could be back by next Sunday, but Matt Moore played really well when he came in for Cutler.
Okay.
And if he plays well again tonight...
Then the questions are going to start... Do we need Cutler back?
Even though they paid him all that money.
Right.
Baltimore has been sliding recently. They had a good start. I'm going to go with the Fish.
Really?
I'm going to take Miami tonight. Miami's 4-2. They've been off to a good start. That whole division's played really well.
Jay Cutler's helped spark that team.
All right, but now he's not. Now he can really lay back and have a smoke on the sideline. He's got no pads on. He won't be playing
tonight. Why do they keep, like, memeing him with cigarettes in his mouth? Is that just... Does he actually smoke?
I think it's just his laid-back attitude. Like, why wouldn't he be smoking a cigarette? His give-a-you-know-what meter is so low...
He just doesn't care.
The Trump card is adding a cigarette to that whole look.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess I'm on the Fish tonight. I'll take Miami. I'm nervous because your father-in-law has me making his picks in his pool now.
I know. I actually have to look to see what you did with him there.
Pretty sure I took Miami. I think Baltimore's favored tonight. I'd have to look it up.
You did take Miami.
Yeah, I'm on the Fish.
Wow.
But I'm nervous. You start making picks for other people, and if it goes south...
He said, here's what he wrote me back. If I win the pool, I'll send over a lasagna for the show, since lasagna is the greatest food ever.
That is something I can support.
He wrote that.
Now I'm inspired. I wish you told me that before I made the picks. I really would have taken more time to...
What, did you just rattle through?
I was kind of winging it.
I was going to bring this up at the beginning of the show. We need one of your lasagnas.
Maybe that'll help spark the troops.
Dude, I can't request a lasagna right now.
You got to make
Aaron
it,
Aaron will scissor kick you in the head.
Do you know how much she has on her plate right now? She's got 2 2-year-olds that she's handling right now on a daily basis.
Yeah. I think it would be a nice touch. If she fired,
didn't you pay like $300 for a lasagna that you brought in one time?
Yeah, and it wasn't even as good as his.
It wasn't even close. Like it was good, but not
even close.
Like I know people probably think we embellish at times,
right?
And hyperbole can be a part of the show. Not embellishing.
I think by next Friday,
no,
you'll be good enough to make a lasagna.
I think what we should do is have this is reaching out, but
I'll see what I can do.
Have the Irv Pub bring up some of the Brian Hayes burgers. Isn't there lasagna on it something like that?
Our boy Regan at the Irv Pub down on Carlton, they've worked something out. But I got to get down there to really check it out. It'd be great if you could bring it up, but they brought up food last week and we weren't here for it.
Neither one of you were.
I know.
Sean Levine went to town on the wings.
I was actually listening. I can't remember where we were going. We're going to the park or something like that, and I had the show on, and I heard Scotty Mack point out that Sean Levine, for whatever reason, had decided to stick around hours after his show.
And just
shocking.
And mucked up those wings.
Because there were free food hanging around.
A dozen of them in his yap, for sure.
Anyway. Leafs Canes tonight. Oh, you're on your way downtown. You're going to be in the alumni box tonight.
Chicken penne.
What kind of regulars do you expect to see tonight? Who's going to be in there? Darcy Tucker, will he be in the building tonight?
No, sir.
Wendell Clark.
Could be a Lou Franceschetti sighting.
Oh, yeah?
Wes Jarvis, my guy. Wes?
I don't think so. Maybe a Dave McElwain, a Peter Ng.
Okay.
Peter Ng?
Oh,
I like Peter Ng.
Huh?
I like Peter Ng.
Yeah. I think he's the head of the alumni.
Is he?
Yeah.
Peter Ng is running the alumni now?
I believe so. I don't really pay much attention to that, but I believe so.
So what would come with that job?
I have no idea.
Do those guys get paid?
How do I know?
Probably.
What do you want me to ask him? Do you get paid?
Yeah, ask him. You're willing to go to Eric Carlson and ask for two sticks. Ask Peter Ng if he gets
paid. Okay, I'm going to go. I'll do this because I don't care. I'll go up to him and say, do you get paid? And then I'll come back to
Brian
you.
Brian Hayes wants to know.
You can say that.
The guy's on overdraft.
Brian Hayes, the
wants
journalist.
Wants to know if you get paid for this gig as the head of the alumni.
Yeah.
He'll get defensive if he does. He'll be like, what do you want to know for?
See, unlike you losers, I'll ask the guy because
okay,
I don't care.
Please do. Go ahead.
I can't, wow.
Ask him. I want to hear about a confrontation in the alumni box. Peter Ng took it personal.
Yeah. With some chicken penne.
And exactly. There was a dust up right around the chicken pesto penne. Anyway. Enjoy the game tonight.
Yeah.
Noodles. Enjoy the many games tonight.
I'm gonna watch a bunch of games tonight.
Lots of games.
It'll be exciting.
World Series off tonight. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 PM.
We'll chat then after a Peter Ng convo.